Welcome to a new episode of the Scout with Brian podcast. Quick hitter today. Let's do a brief review of Game 3 and some predictions, things I think we'll see in tonight's obviously massive Game 4. Let's jump right into it. Obviously, Game 3, like I've told you guys, playoffs, home court, I don't know how, but it just has a magic influence on some guys. I mean, you know, Drew Holiday can go from looking like he's, Ish Smith or something to, you know, shooting like Kyle Korver. I mean, him going 5 of 10 from 3, massive. I mean, for a guy that was really struggling to go in, you know, Game 3, the NBA Finals, have 21 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds. I mean, he played a phenomenal game. You know, it just makes such a massive difference for whatever reason. You know, I don't really understand why, quite frankly. I mean, I'm sure, obviously, a lot of it's just a psychological effect of having, you know, fans in your corner instead of, you know, just crushing you. And guys just, I don't know, for whatever reason, they feed off that. And Middleton, honestly, going 3 of 7 from 3 was not quite to Drew's extent, but pretty similar, you know, huge step up for him. 18 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. And then Bobby Portis, the other guy that they really needed somebody to step up off the bench. Pat Connaughton had a great floor game, 8 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. And then Bobby with his 11 points and 8 rebounds really brought good energy, and the two of them were super effective. So totally different story from the games in Phoenix, where Cam Payne and Cam Johnson kind of dominated things in terms of the bench production. Game 3, Milwaukee's guys were more impactful. They also obviously did a hell of a job shutting Mikal Bridges' water off, but Bridges also can't allow himself to become that passive, especially after scoring 27 points to come out the next game and only take 4 shots. I mean, obviously he's not a 27 point guy. That's not who he is. Don't expect him to come out chucking like Kobe Bryant. But when you're coming off 27, you got to be more aggressive than finishing with 4 points. I mean, he was invisible for large stretches of the game where, you know, you hardly even noticed him being out there offensively. So he needs to just pick his spots, find some areas like he did in Game 2 where he could, you know, just dribble into a mid-range jumper or fake a dribble handoff and get his own offense, because Phoenix, I mean, CP, Book, they quite frankly were exhausted in Game 3, and understandably so, because Milwaukee really wore them down over the first 2 games of the series. So Jay Crowder steps up, makes 6 of 7 shots, all 3s, has 18, but Bridges silent. Book, obviously, really rough performance for him. CP, you know, puts up a decent stat line, but clearly wasn't his, full normal self that he's been for the rest of these playoffs. Giannis, obviously, the most important guy. I did a video on YouTube on him showing how he dominated the game with force. Honestly, wasn't anything really superhuman to me. I mean, everybody continues to talk about how it looked like his season might be over and he might need, you know, surgery and all these things, and for him to be coming back and doing all this in the finals. I mean, yeah, but if at the end of the day it was just a odd looking bruise or whatever the official diagnosis was, I mean, yeah, then he's physically fine, and they manage his minutes all season. They keep him under 35 minutes. They, even for most of the playoffs, manage his minutes so that he can, you know, peak at times like this. And yeah, he's peaking right now, which is great, and it's great to see. For sure. I mean, this is the most LeBron-like he's played in his career, and he's playing the best basketball of his career on the biggest stage. And obviously the LeBron thing is an imperfect comp, but I like it you know, more than the Shaq one. Because Giannis, yeah, I mean, he's a physical beast. He's dunking all over people. He's, you know, posting up deep and you're done and so on and so forth. But he's not just like Shaq playing in the triangle, just, you know, sealing everybody using his 350-pound body to bury guys under in the paint and just, you know, call for the ball and post up and just rise up and dunk over you. Like, he's handling the ball full court. He's bringing it down. He's their point guard for the most part. You know, the ball's in his hands in all different places the entire game. You know, and so that's, that's, again, I mean, that's how LeBron's played for his career. And Giannis, you know, has been a little bit slower than LeBron was to pick up the skill components to be able to, you know, knock down threes, knock down turnaround jumpers, you know, be able to be a threat himself offensively from more than, you know, 2-3 feet away. So obviously we know he's at his best right under the basket, and he's tenacious and a one-man wrecking ball in transition, really, really hard to stop. You know, but he's also shown a lot of growth this postseason. Shot selection, not taking as many as of the threes, but also occasionally, you know, stepping into a mid-range jumper, stepping into a post turnaround, which is a massive shot for him to continue to develop. You know, his fearlessness, people have talked about, obviously, to keep attacking, even when he's missing free throws, you know, to relentlessly attack the basket. I mean, the total opposite of Ben Simmons. It's just a huge, you know, change psychologically. I mean, and again, you look at 13 of 17 from the line is 4 or so points more than, you know, he normally averages, you know, if he shot his normal free throw percentage. And yeah, it was huge that he shot the ball that well in game three. And obviously they'll need him to continue to make free throws tonight. But yeah, 41 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. I thought he just, you know, controlled the pace of the game brilliantly, just read the floor great. You know, the game kind of slowed down for him the most it has in the finals. He understood exactly when he had the right matchup, when somebody else did. He didn't force things. He didn't force early shots. He didn't play out of control. You know, and again, he kept it simple. If you watch, like, the clips in my YouTube, he got a lot of points just, you know, going up on offensive rebounds over Devin Booker and, you know, just pushing in transition when nobody was back. Or and really, what he scored I mean, for somebody who scores 41 points, the overwhelming majority were on the guy that was not matched up with him, which it's just pretty astounding. But yeah, what I mean is, of those 41, I mean, I don't know what the official tracking numbers and stuff say, because I don't, you know, exactly trust those, but I wouldn't be shocked if, like, only 6 or so were actually on DeAndre Ayton. I mean, he just brutalized the Suns anytime it was somebody other than Ayton matched up on him. So, what does that tell Phoenix? Yeah, they're screwed if anytime DeAndre Ayton is not guarding Giannis. Obviously, the main reason in game three, was foul trouble. Ayton finishing with only 24 minutes played, thanks in large part to his 5 fouls. But I think Phoenix needs to do something. I mean, honestly, the Saric loss, pretty big here. Not that he would have been, you know, a great matchup for Giannis or really able to do much better, but you know, he's definitely better suited than Kaminsky and Torrey Craig and the guys that they're having to throw at him off the bench. I would expect something funky from Phoenix tonight, meaning, you know, when Aiden's out of the game, I think almost definitely they'll be in zone, but I wouldn't be shocked to see them start the game that way too, because I think even more important than, you know, than trying to have a team approach to cutting off the paint when Ayton's out. You know, the Bucks, they played that well. Like, they just found, okay, here's where Crowder or Booker or Bridges or whoever is in the zone. Giannis is going to go sit right there at that elbow. We're going to just throw him the ball, and he's going to put them under the basket. I mean, that was easy. But I think, obviously, they also need to manage Aiden's fouls better. And so I wouldn't be shocked if they came out in a zone or zone type or something just a little bit different to try to, you know, maybe save the impulse to foul on Aiden a little bit and try to, you know, again, yeah, you do have to dare Holiday and Tucker and Lopez and those guys to play outside and just take away the straight post-ups, which are, you know, Crowder guarding Lopez or Aiden guarding Giannis, which, you know, neither of which are tremendous for Phoenix. But yeah, I think you maybe come out in the zone because, again, the most important thing is managing Aiden well enough so that he can still play 35 or so minutes and generally be in the game whenever Giannis is. You know, and if you'd like to play mostly man defense, obviously, in the second half and down the stretch, then you need to make sure he's in the game and not sitting on the bench with 3, 4, or whatever fouls. So I would expect an adjustment there. You know, again, when he's not in the game, maybe play some zone, maybe play Crowder and have him front him in the post. Maybe maybe you even go, you know, Kaminsky or something, and I don't know. Maybe you try hack a Giannis, quite frankly, because they're not getting many stops, period, when Aiden's out of the game. So, you know, maybe with Kaminsky, you say, okay, let's foul him the first two times, and, you know, if he only makes one or two out of four, then you keep going. You know, if he's in a good rhythm, if he knocks down all four, knocks down three, whatever, you know, then maybe you try to play a little defense or get Aiden back in with the benefit of, you know, some timeouts and rest and so on. But, yeah, hack a Giannis or more zone defense are two things I would keep an eye out for tonight in terms of adjustments from Phoenix. For Milwaukee, Brook Lopez, I think, needs to still be more aggressive. I mean, he's playing a lot on the perimeter, and yeah, some of that you do because of the spacing you want to give Giannis, but, you know, especially tonight, if Phoenix does adjust on him a little bit and does a better job on Giannis, I think Brook needs to terrorize Crowder more in the paint. 11 points, 2 rebounds. Obviously, they could use a little more production on the glass from him. But, yeah, he's been good, you know, for most of the series. Obviously, you know, PJ's the no-stats all-star, as I've called him. His impact isn't going to show up in the numbers, but it shows up in wearing down Book, you know, taking CP on a few matchups. And yeah, Milwaukee has found a way to pretty much switch 1 through 4 for sure, at least, and then when Lopez is out of the game, switch 1 through 5. They've got Lopez a little up a little higher on screens. They've, you know, tried to avoid some of the unnecessary switching. They've come in and been more active in help off the ball instead of having Giannis and, you know, guys like that, Tucker, whatever, hug Crowder or Bridges. They're using them, you know, much more actively to jab at the ball as CP or Book try to, you know, probe against the drop or just, you know, survey the floor off the pick and roll. They're doing a really good job being active on those. So what can Phoenix do? I think sometimes you get a little bit of tunnel vision in these playoff series. And what I mean by that is, you know, so much talk about the pick and roll and how's Milwaukee going to stop it. And, you know, CP and Book going against the drop and yada, yada, yada. And yeah, I mean, obviously Chris Paul is going to run a lot of pick and roll. So is Devin Booker. But Phoenix, in Game 3, it honestly seemed like they forgot that they have other plays. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that as a criticism of Monty or anything, but I, you know, it's funny. I have been involved in some playoff series, and you remember sometimes that, like, you do get so wrapped up in what's going on and watching the film of the latest game or two and you know, rewatching every possession 60 times, and then sometimes you're like, wait, don't we also have 50 other plays? Like, what happened to, you know, all those? And so, yeah, sometimes, I mean, I remember, actually, I think there was a series against, like, Bud in Atlanta that we played, and, you know, it was, we really had them locked up. We were guarding their pick and rolls well, their Millsap post-ups well, you know, Teague well, whatever. You know, and then one, they came out in game three or four or something kind of later in the series, and after being pretty much invisible to start the series, they started running like their entire offense through four Kyle Korver. Like, they were running floppy and pin downs, and you know, everything was Kyle Korver, and he torched us that game. And it was kind of like, yeah, we just weren't you know, ready for that. Obviously, going into the series, we knew Korver, you know, elite of the elite shooter. We talked about his pin downs, so on and so forth, but then, you know, you don't see it three whatever games. You don't talk about it in walkthroughs. You don't see any film on it, obviously. So it just kind of drifts to the back of your mind. And so then they came out doing all that, and we were like, oh shit, we kind of forgot about this. So I think to that point, Phoenix needs to remember they have good motion offense. They have some good elbow sets that are kind of read and react plays for Book and for Crowder and Bridges. And, you know, they have pin downs they can run for Book, obviously, get him off some movement a little bit more. Him and CP playing out of that stuff can be a little tricky. So I think they need to, we'll see more motion movement offense from them tonight. Less just come down and pick and roll every possession. I think they got sucked into doing that way too often in game three. And then, yeah, I mean, it's obvious that the, you know, the one thing Milwaukee's willing to kind of concede in pick and rolls is Aiden taking mid-range jumpers, Aiden getting an occasional seal against a switch, you know, an occasional lob. But, yeah, Phoenix needs to find a way to keep the ball moving and not settle only for those and use Aiden as an off-ball screener as well, you know. Get everybody involved, get the ball moving a little bit more instead of just coming down and pounding it a million times every possession. So, yeah, should be an interesting chess match, obviously, tonight. I think, you know, either Milwaukee comes out again with tremendous force and just physically dominates Phoenix with Giannis, and they just continue to have no answer for him. And, you know, if the series gets evened up tonight, I think Milwaukee likely wins the series. You know, obviously going up 3-1, I think tonight will be a close game. That's my personal take, at least. And I think, you know, when that happens, anything can happen down the stretch. And if Phoenix is able to pull it out, then obviously going up 3-1, I think they win the series. So, you know, I know it's not a bold or super hot take or anything like that, but yeah, I think whoever wins tonight's game four, wins the series in all likelihood. So yeah, with 2 days of rest in between, expect to see a, rejuvenated Chris Paul, a, much more effective Devin Booker, a more aggressive Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton playing smarter and staying out of foul trouble, and maybe some adjustments to help him out. And then for Phoenix, ideally, you'd love to see some, you know, some more production from Payne and Craig and maybe Kaminsky off the bench. Cam Johnson's obviously been a bright spot for them, for Milwaukee. You know, you hope if Holiday can give you 75% of what he did in game three, I think you're happy. Middleton, you know, same or even a little more production. Giannis, I mean, like I said, I mean, I didn't think anything was extraordinarily hard for him in game three. So, you know, and yeah, it's pretty shocking when you know, you put up 41, 13, and 6, and I'm sitting here saying that nothing was that incredible. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's like people were shocked after game one and shocked after game two. How does he keep doing better? Like, Yeah, because Phoenix is not a tough matchup for him. Besides, Ayton is the only body they have, really, that can guard him. And you know, his job is, like LeBron's done his whole career, to brutalize them with his physicality and athleticism. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he puts up a similar or even better stat line tonight. And, you know, he's due for, yeah, a historic-type performance. If you really want to be, you know, a consistent MVP, remembered as one of the all-time greats, mentioned in that same category as LeBron, well, this is the time of the year where you got to be making your fadeaways, you got to be making all your free throws, you got to be, you know, just playing like a absolute lunatic, flying around, doing everything in transition. You know, so can't be cramping up right now. Need to keep on going. So 30 minutes for Connaughton. If he could give that same production, he's impressed me with his basketball IQ this series. I mean, I knew he was, you know, smart and athletic and a good player, but yeah, I mean, you hear Bud say things like he just makes like winning plays and he makes so many of the right plays, and yeah, he just had a lot of, you know, game two, game three, like little catch and goes, little subtle plays to make good drop off passes and to find Giannis on picking on rolls, you know, when they put him in the action a little bit. So he was great. Bryn Forbes obviously has, you know, is the guy getting 4, 5, 6 minutes, but remember, don't sleep on him either, because like Korver, you know, like I mentioned, him making that impact in our series, Forbes is that guy for Milwaukee. You know, he is that potentially shooting specialist. So if your offense really goes dry and Phoenix, you know, Phoenix has some adjustments and things that really make you struggle for offense tonight, then maybe Bud throws him out a little more and you know, against his own, against, you know, handoffs with Giannis, pin downs, whatever. He is the guy that can potentially torch you from deep. So we'll see if he gets a little more involved. Jeff Teague, you know, I guess he played an okay floor game, but he looks about cooked physically, you know, not able to really knock down shots with any consistency anymore. So he's out there, I guess, because, you know, he can guard campaign and I guess Bud has the trust factor. He could run the offense okay and not, you know, not get anybody killed. But if he's out there again tonight as well, Phoenix needs to do a much better job helping off of him, helping off of the guys that are not gonna hurt you, and really showing Giannis a ton of bodies, a ton of walls in the paint. So we'll see again if they do that by zone or by, you know, making sure Aiden's always on him or whatever adjustment you can make. So anyway, appreciate you guys tuning in. Scout with Brian, YouTube channel, Instagram, obviously the podcast. If you can rate and review, I'd really appreciate it. Patreon.com/ScoutWithBrian, best way to support. Hot mic, hot MIC in the App Store, code Scout, all caps. I'm waiting this series because, you know, these games are such a chess match, and I like, you know, going back and rewinding and making videos for you guys after the fact and so on. So I don't think I'm going to do hot mic again tonight, but if I don't do it tonight, and especially if Milwaukee wins, I first guarantee of the playoffs, I will guarantee I'll be there in game 5. If Milwaukee doesn't win, maybe I wait for game 6, but either way, I'll be on there again at some point this series, definitely next year, so make sure you're following me on there. Thanks again for tuning in and your support, and we will #talk soon. Take care.